Good evening to those of you who live here on this plane of existence. It's not an airplane. I don't know what kind of plane it is. It could be that tool that carpenters know about called the plane. You use the plane to make things flat. You use the plane to flatten that which is rough, to smooth out that which is jagged, to achieve a level of harmonic simplicity with the grain of the wood. I don't know, I'm not a carpenter, so I really, really do not know what the fuck I'm talking about with respect to the tool that is called a plane. But to those of you on September the 25th, 2019, that have the luck to hear me fucking do 3 podcasts in one fucking day, you say to yourself, how did I win this award? How did you win this award? How did you get so fucking lucky that you get to listen to my bullshit? Well, I don't know what to tell you. It is the existential lottery. It is the roll of the dice. Here's an award for you. And this didn't start when I notified Willy Wonka's of my health issues. This started actually about 2 weeks into Willy Wonka. I had basically been drinking too much beer. And, you know, I don't want to go into the darkness of this. You know, folks, none of us is perfect. If you listen to my podcast and you've come away with any notion that I am perfect or that I am a guru or that I'm a life coach, fuck you. I have a life coach. His name is Jesus Christ. That's all I'm going to say. Am I following all of his instructions? Am I living currently the kingdom life? I think that's a giant question mark. And frankly, it's a race against time because I came to this party late. And the party's almost over. I mean, it feels like that. I could be wrong, but yeah. Anywho, I don't want to go off onto that. I know many of you don't believe in God or you believe in other spirits and demons. And that's your business. Okay? In a free world, we should all be able to believe whatever we want to believe. Will some of us turn out to be right in the end? Maybe, but we won't know till we're dead. So it is September the 25th, 2019, and you have won this existential lottery to listen to me bloviate. And the first topic has to do with a stupid show. I don't know if you've ever seen that show, Designated Survivor. I have to admit, I have been that bored. I have been so bored as an anarchist. You have to understand, as an anarchist, I've been so bored, I've watched status porn. And let me define status porn. Status porn is basically these like cop shows, like fucking, I don't know, that one Law and Order bullshit. All these fucking shows that tell you about how awesome, you know, the public safety people are, and the first responders, and the fucking cops love you, and the FBI just wants to do the right thing. That's called statist pornography. Statist, as in people who believe in the power of the crocodile, and when I say crocodile, you know I mean government. Statist porn is, it's kind of like that show 24. I'll admit this, you know, my wife and I and my brother-in-law, it was kind of a drinking game. Like every year for 24, number one, it was like take bets on who Jack Bauer is going to torture or kill first. That's part of it. But then from then on, every time Jack injures, kills, or tortures someone, you have to drink. And it turns out if you drink every time Jack Bauer tortures or harms or kills or murders or blows something up, you basically drink a lot in that 1 hour of the 24. And keep in mind, I wasn't an anarchist back then. I still believe that you could put the crocodile on a diet, like so many libertarians and minarchists believe. I believed all you needed was the right guy, you know, like Ron Paul. If Ron Paul got in there, he could put the crocodile on a diet, it could lose like 100 pounds, and then maybe it would only run around actually punishing criminals, which means that if there's an actual victim. Because if there's no victim, there is no crime. So there's that show, Designated Survivor, and like 24, it also has Kiefer Sutherland. I forget what the character's called in Designated Survivor. I was really bored and I was drinking that day. But the one thing I thought about this show, like when I first saw the trailers for it, like they said it was coming out and like this is going to be really, really awesome, really, really awesome, really, really amazing. When I first saw the trailer come out, I said to myself, and keep in mind, I wasn't quite an anarchist yet, but I was in that zone. I said to myself, holy fuck. If I was writing the script for Designated Survivor, because basically the show starts out with the first episode, the entire government gets decapitated. Like one explosion takes out pretty much everybody. And yeah, there's this subplot of an evil cabal, and you're led to believe there are good guys who work for the crocodile, aka government, and they're gonna fucking find the bad guys, blah, 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 blah. But if I had written the first episode of Designated Survivor, number one, it would have been a one-episode show. There would be no episode two or season two. I'm sorry, you get one fucking episode of Designated Survivor. If I wrote the first show, it would be the same plot. But when Kiefer looks majestically at a smoldering capital, imagine Kiefer Sutherland looking majestically at a smoldering capital. Holy shit, somebody just blew up the government. What are we gonna do, honey? I don't know, baby. I mean, you ever think to yourself that this entire thing is an evil, steaming pile of bullshit? Well, you know, I never thought of it that way. Hello, hello! You're now the president! You're now the president of the United States, Mr. Sutherland! Holy fuck! As president of the United States, as president of the United States, as president of these United States, I am letting you know, people, that government is bullshit. The Capitol has been destroyed. I am sending everybody home. The last job of the last bomber of the Air Force is to, well, essentially sterilize Washington, D.C. with a 20-megaton device. But everyone's going to be given 90 days to leave. And then once every person is gone, we're going to simply turn it into a giant parking lot. And that's it, folks. It's done. If I created the show, The Designated Survivor, and if in the first episode the entire government is decapitated, and for all intents and purposes the crocodile is on its side bleeding out, my first order of business would be to just call the whole fucking thing off. All it's been is murder and destruction. All it has been is slavery and torture. Ask yourself this question. If a Native American that was on the Trail of Tears, if a Native American that saw its family murdered and beaten by U.S. cavalry, if a Native American that saw the murder of its history were transported in a time machine, and that Native American was standing there with Kiefer Sutherland looking at the fucking Capitol as a smoking pile of rubble, what do you think they would say? Would they say, yeah, keep this thing going there, Kiefer. It's important to keep the crocodile alive. I actually think the Native American would say, you know what? I think this is the beginning of a great relationship. It'd be like the end of Casablanca. And they would walk away as the Capitol is smoldering, knowing that this nightmare of empire, this nightmare of murder, this nightmare of destruction is now over. Now, here's the thing to know, folks. I'm not calling for murder or destruction. I actually am against that bullshit. I'm not opposed to self-defense. If you've got to fucking kill to survive, guess what? You're a living thing. The Lord in heaven granted you that right. But the thing about going around the world and being a bully and dropping bombs on people's countries and giving Americans bullshit reasons for doing so, yeah, I'm not really cool about that. That's not something I support any longer. And I'm not even sure I ever did. I mean, there was a while in my 20s where I think I did believe. But then I got in the military and I saw the truth. And I wasn't even in combat. I can't imagine the horrible truths I would have learned if I'd been in combat. If I wrote the plot, the script, the story for Designated Survivor, it would have been a one-episode show. The magical Indian would have traveled through time and basically said, shut it down. Shut it down. And that is an anarchist dream. Anyways, next topic. I have had people ask me about Zero Hedge, so let's tell a story about Dr. Freckles and how I got to Zero Hedge, and why, even though Zero Hedge might be total bullshit, it is the last place. In some ways, Zero Hedge is really the last holdout. It is the Alamo. It might be a CIA psyop. It could be that the NSA could be controlling it, and they know that this is where we'll end up, and this is where they take us all out on Zero Hedge. They collect us all in one spot, and then they basically, they take us out. Now, I'm not sure what that means in terms of taking people out or whatnot. But just trust me, Zero Hedge as a website, as a news aggregator, might be bullshit, but I can honestly say this. They are the least crappy. They are the closest to the truth I've found. Does that mean you're going to find the truth on Zero Hedge? I bring up the example of Sovietologists a lot in reference to American journalism, because I tell people you kind of have to approach American journalism like you're a Sovietologist. You have to sort of read between the lines and glean out the truth. And you're basically trying to pull truths from lies, which is really hard. It is a mental exercise. So, yeah, as a practicing Sovietologist in the 1970s at Langley, you might have had a debate with your friend, which is more honest, Izvestia or Pravda? And it would have been a silly fucking debate. Which is more honest, Foreign Affairs or The Economist? Which is more honest, The New York Times or WaPo? I mean, honestly, those are really stupid debates at this point. The government for several years has had the right, excuse me, has the right, the privilege, basically overturned a law, and I think it was in 2012, and I think a lot of Republicans went along with it. Basically, the government can produce all kinds of propaganda. It's not illegal. It is totally okay for the government to tell you lies. Your tax dollars go to pay journalists that lie to you. This is something you have to meditate on, folks. So, yes, I went to Zero Hedge. Now, let me tell you the story. It's about the time that a business relationship I had blew up, and this is 2010. I was working with a guy, really brilliant guy, in terms of understanding the economics and the finances of healthcare. The guy was just brilliant. His name's David Isco. He died in 2014. I hope he's in heaven. I believe he is. he and I did not part on good terms. We had a kind of falling out. One time, and it was almost prophetic, a few months before our falling out, he said, you and I are like John Lennon and Paul McCartney. And the problem is you have to think about that. John Lennon and Paul McCartney more or less split up the Beatles. So yeah, we had a good relationship, and then we split up. And about the time we split up, I went into a funk. I'll admit it. Arguably, my ex-wife, that's when she first saw my real darkness, and that's probably when she thought to herself, what did I get myself into? I went into a funk, and I was basically reading a lot of fucking news all the time, a lot of financial news, because I just became more and more curious. Keep in mind, by 2010, we're being told there's an economic recovery. In fact, the summer of 2010 was Joseph Biden going on his roadshow for Recovery Summer. You remember Recovery Summer? I do. There was mother-daughter prostitute teams up and down Aurora in Seattle every 200 feet of Recovery Summer. I'd never seen so many prostitutes. But that's because the economy was doing so fucking well. That was the time. And so in 2010, there was, the flash crash. And yeah, the flash crash got a lot of people thinking about the markets. Because again, up to that point, I wondered to myself, how much do they manipulate? How much do they control? How much do they make sure that the spinning plates on the sticks keep spinning? I really didn't know. And then there was the flash crash. And for many of us on Zero Hedge, that was one of those events that made us go, what the fuck? What the fuck just happened? And yeah, we can joke about the fat finger and we can joke about a lot of stuff, but what's not a joke is the fact that they basically prevented the crash. They did everything they could to control it, and in essence, they made it go away. So, kind of like in 1987 with, Black Monday, October 87, I think it was, kind of like with in 1997, frickin' whatchamacallit, long-term capital management. Yeah, kind of like with those events, the Fed stepped in quickly to make sure nothing went awry. Okay, they kind of just blocked it, they made sure it didn't happen. And in my head, I knew this was reality, but I never wanted to admit it. Because once you admit this, you have to admit our economic system isn't simply broken, it is a big, giant set of nested, really just a giant nested set of rackets, of criminal opportunities, of kleptocracy. People call it an oligarchy. I kind of think it's a kleptocracy. I kind of think the better you are at being a crook, the higher you go. And folks, I don't think that that's about free enterprise. In a free society, this shit works its way. This kind of bullshit in a free society, A, never happens. And this kind of bullshit in a free society works its way out. It works itself out. It does. If you screw people financially in a free world, no one's going to do business with you. The problem is, in America today, we are forced to do business with the very same banks. The very same fucking banks that fucked us up the ass in 2008. We are forced to do business with them. That's not a free market, folks. That is a crooked fucking society. When the flash crash occurred, in a lot of ways, the flash crash was so subtle because it wasn't like the great financial crisis. In some ways, it was like an aftershock or kind of like a vomiting unicorn. And it woke a lot of us up. So anyways, this is a story about how I ended up a reader of Zero Hedge. And sometimes a commenter when I'm not banned for arguably, maybe I am bad. So the first place I ended up in terms of you could call it micro blogging or whatever you want to call it, commenting, shit posting, was MarketWatch. And MarketWatch.com still exists. It is really the Skid Row, the low rent district of financial and economic analysis. It is really the weekly world news of economics. It is one of the shittiest fucking financial sites. It's kind of a breeder area, a breeder zone, kind of a minor league for the Wall Street Journal. But the fact is, MarketWatch.com is fucking terrible. But back in 2010, 2011, 2012, MarketWatch.com A did not use SSL, which is pretty stupid. They didn't have an SSL certificate. So it meant fucking with them was basically a lot easier. And frankly, it was kind of a fun place. There were a lot of commenters, like that one dude, I always forget his name, but he picked the worst fucking avatar. But there was a lot of good commentary and ridiculous conversation. And in many ways, in the flash crash in 2010 on MarketWatch, that is where Dr. Freckles was born. I'm not going to claim every identity on MarketWatch was called Dr. Freckles. It is not the case. Okay? MarketWatch, I started out commenting there not to shitpost, but to have an honest conversation about what the fuck just happened. Like, what the fuck is going on in this economy? Why is it so rigged? What is the purpose? And the problem is, if you ask uncomfortable questions on these threads and you make a rational point, that's what gets you in trouble. You can shitpost a lot of stupid shit as long as you're not making people think. I learned that lesson quickly. God forbid you make people think. God forbid you post something. I'm not saying people have to agree with it. What you post might be stupid, but as long as people think, I would say that's a positive. But no. On MarketWatch.com, they didn't want people thinking. They wanted people imagineering recovery summer. And then Recovery Summer Part 2, which was 2011. And then there was Recovery Summer Part 3, which was 2012. And we're almost to how I ended up on Zero Hedge. So in 2012, I'm working on a contract, the summer of 2012, for Costco. Oh my God. Working for Costco near Lake Sammamish at their corporate headquarters. If you can imagine working for a company, how can I phrase this? Like the canteen, the place where you go to eat. Guess where all the food comes from? It's all Costco. And the thing is, it's fine. You should pack a lunch. You should have packed a lunch. Well, okay, I should have packed a lunch. I didn't. They also had something called pink noise. Now, I didn't say white noise. I said pink noise. Pink noise was essentially this shit they would pump into the office space. It acted like kind of like a cone of silence. It was fucking ridiculous as fuck. And it also kind of gave you headaches. Anyways, I was there working on their, more or less their QA team, writing code. I was working on some code to do some analysis of the various tickets that they had and link them together into patterns of problem solving using Markov chains. And that's all very boring. But it turned out to be another stupid job. That was a stupid fucking place. They really wanted to hire me, okay? The problem was back in 2012, I was in year three of using marijuana in lieu of the shit the doctor would give you to deal with depression and anxiety. And before you talk to me about self-medicating, here's the deal, folks. Whenever you put a drug or anything into your body, whether a doctor gives it to you or whether you get it from Gumbo the bartender, you are self-medicating, unless, of course, they're forcing it into you. Okay? But if you're making a choice, I'm not talking about a kid when they're born getting 50 vaccines, some of which for STDs that they don't need. I'm not talking about that. That's basically called torture. I'm talking about cases where you go to the fucking doctor and say, I'm depressed, and the doctor gives you a fucking pill, or you say, I'm anxious. In my case, it was, oh, Dan, you're stressed out. You're not having heart attacks. Here's some Valium. So yeah, I chose to go down a very difficult path when it comes to my psyche. Is it perfect? Listen, you're listening to me. It's not perfect. So anyways, in the summer of 2012, I'm at Costco working on contract, in a stupid job, and I decide to use most of my time, and this is kind of wrong, to shitpost on MarketWatch. Which doesn't matter, because most of the people there I noticed weren't really doing anything. It's funny. Sometime in the early part of this decade, when people realized that the economy had become a vast dystopia of nothing, the middle class more or less entered into a zone of what I would call constructive laziness. And in some sense, it's almost like there's a middle class welfare program. God forbid you have intelligent people thinking, keep them at work, keep them in the job. Keep them working. Yeah. So I'm shitposting on MarketWatch, and if you were on MarketWatch.com in the summer of 2012, and you remember somebody shitposting cucumbers that came up out of the ground that were essentially looked like penises, and doing that over and over again, and mocking the Zero Hedge IT team, because I was able to create like 50 accounts, because yeah, they installed an SSL certificate, and then what did they do? They left port 80 open. Which is really fucking stupid. But you know what? To my own defense, I told them what to do. I told them how to fix it. And they finally kicked me off forever. And they did a really good job. Like, they finally learned their lesson. They started really integrating security in a way I would. And yeah, they figured out a way to block me almost forever. If I wanted to go back there, I probably could, but I have no interest. When I was on MarketWatch in 2012... some dudes posted links saying, come to Zero Hedge. Come see the paradise. Orange picker jobs down the road. Kind of like in the Grapes of Wrath. The basic message from some of these posters is Zero Hedge was an honest place for honest people. And here's the thing. A lot of voices that you will not hear in the mainstream press end up on Zero Hedge. Nobody will talk to James Howard Kunstler. James Howard Kunstler is a brilliant guy. He's a really moral, decent, brilliant writer who has an opinion about our current predicament as human beings on planet Earth. And he has a message. And if you've never been to Kunstler.com, if you haven't read his blog, you should. But the point is, people like that, voices like that, they don't get heard in the mainstream press. Yeah, every once in a while they'll get interviewed until they say something that makes people uncomfortable. And when I say uncomfortable in people, I mean the crocodile. So in 2012, I started reading Zero Hedge. And yeah, it's not perfect. I will not tell you that, oh, every time I read it, I know that I'm getting the truth. I don't even know what that fucking means. I don't know what it fucking means. If I were to say to you, if you read Zero Hedge, are you getting the truth? Who the fuck knows? I don't know. Maybe. But I do know that amongst the shitty places on the World Wide Web where people claim to be telling you the truth, including the Drudge Report, okay? I'm sorry, but the Drudge Report is only slightly right of Fox News. And really, I shouldn't even say right or left. The Drudge Report is only slightly less bullshit than Fox News, but it's still bullshit. A lot of it is bullshit, and it's a lot of very selective bullshit from a lot of bullshit artists. So Zero Hedge is not perfect, but I guess it's a place for us to go. And maybe it is a constructed kind of reservation. Maybe it is a digital ghetto. Maybe we were all rounded up and sent to Zero Hedge. But if I have any optimism left, if I'm willing to accept that there very well could be a glass half full or a glass half empty, when in reality I know the glass is broken, then if I'm going to try to be optimistic about the human race, I'll say this. I'm on Zero Hedge because I think that there are people who are trying to express truths that get a chance to speak there, and even if the people that own it are not, you know, how can I phrase this? Even if they have a hidden agenda, I don't give a fuck. It's the best we got. It's like riding Metro in Seattle. It's better than walking. It's not so bad. It could be worse. Next topic is kind of a remembrance of when I was a child. You might say, Dan, were you ever a child? Was I ever a child? I was. And I grew up in Washington State, as I've mentioned before, back in the 1970s and 80s. And I had friends, believe it or not, and one of my friends from grade school, I would hang out with him a lot, and he had, how can I put this? Well, just so you guys know, there's a big difference between parenting in the Pacific Northwest when I was a kid and parenting today. To say that I was free range would be like, it's just not even remotely comparable. It's more like Mad Max for kids. We had so much freedom, we didn't even realize it. When I compare the freedom I had to go just do shit in the summertime when school was out compared to the kids today, they live a regimented, dystopian fucking life. They have no time to fucking go for walks or hang out. They have no time to be kids. And on top of that, they're constantly looking at their fucking glowing rectangles. And you could say, well, Dan, didn't you have glowing rectangles? Well, I guess we had that little football game. You know the little football game where you push the LEDs up and down field? Yeah, we had that. We had the football game. We certainly did. So I had this friend growing up, and he had very permissive parents. His dad bought him a 357 Magnum, I think when he was 10 years old. Maybe he was 11. But, you know, and again, I got my Ruger 1022. I think I was 12. But the point is, that was awesome. The 1022 Ruger, fucking awesome. I had a banana clip. And then I got the barrel magazine, the drum barrel magazine, the big drum magazine. That thing could hold 50 rounds. Yeah, the 1022 Ruger is an awesome little rifle. Yeah, it's not necessarily for home defense. On the other hand, the actual ammunition is better than it used to be. And, you know, if you got a fucking max capacity magazine, you could really pepper somebody up. But I don't want to talk about home defense because I am no expert. This same friend had an older sibling, and this older sibling had issues. And I don't want to say more than that, but the same permissive dad that bought his kid a 357 Magnum bought this kid basically like bags of, I can only say, quarter sticks of dynamite. Like literally bought him paper bags full of these quarter sticks of dynamite. And I don't mean M80s, folks. I really, really don't. I mean like actual quarter sticks of dynamite. And this sibling would stand on their backyard lawn, and there was a big woods behind them. So there were no neighbors. There was just a huge, huge set of woods. A lot of alder trees. You know, hardwood, not softwood. Deciduous, not evergreen. So a lot of alder, a lot of fucking maple in the backyard. And he would light these like quarter sticks of dynamite and just throw them into the woods. And it would, you know, they basically, hardwood is called hardwood because it's brittle. So if you throw some dynamite into a thick wood of alder, a lot of fucking alder is going to get shattered. Okay? Alder cracks. That's what you need to know. Anyways, I thought that was strange. And then I remember as kids, me and this friend, we would go out in those backwoods with a hacksaw. And you have to understand how dangerous this is. On a windy day, we went out into the backyard with a hacksaw and we started cutting down trees. Now, here's the thing you need to know. An alder tree will barber chair. And barber chairing is basically, and if you want to know how I know this lingo, my dad was a logger. I worked up in the woods in high school for a while. It's not a great job. I don't want to talk about it. But anyways, alder will barber chair, and that means it'll start splitting up the middle before you finish cutting it. That's bad because then it becomes rather unpredictable what that thing's going to do, and it can easily kill you. Now, why am I talking about the friend with the sibling and the dynamite and the barber chairing alder? Because compare that to the, really, please, compare that to today. Compare that to what parents freak out about. Compare that to the level to which parents worry about what if my child gets harmed. I'm not saying you should how can I phrase this? That you should be an absentee parent. I'm not saying you shouldn't care about your kids. You should. But I do think there's something missing here. There is this dynamic of learning about boundaries. And actually, to tip my hat to James Howard Kunstler, he talks about this a lot too, that kids no longer have that experimental world where they can make mistakes, where they can screw up. And sometimes, yeah, they get harmed. Sometimes kids drown. Sometimes kids go out into the woods and they get eaten by a cougar. And I'm not trying to minimize that. Sometimes kids get hurt. And that does happen. The problem is everybody's going to get hurt. We are all going to get hurt. No matter how long you live, and I hope you live a long time if you want to, if you're happy, I hope you live a long, happy life. But no matter how long you live, you're going to end up with calluses and scars. And I don't mean just physical, although that happens too. If you live a full life, you're going to end up with calluses. You're going to end up with scars. That's what's going to happen. But it'll also be inside the mind, too. If you live a full life, you're going to end up with calluses on your soul. Essentially, you're going to end up with a lot of pain. And some of that pain never gets fixed, folks. The problem with the way kids are raised these days, and it is really bad, if you consider the possible futures before us. I know I talk about the great discontinuity and day zero often. But essentially what I mean by the great discontinuity is the fact that we have a lot of possible futures in front of us right now. The future has become incredibly unstable. And one of the possible futures, yes, it could be magical Jetson, Star Trek bullshit. It really could be. It's not very likely, but it could be. But even in that world, we're not really raising kids for that world, because guess what? That world is going to be dangerous. You will go out into space and you're going to encounter a lot of fucking dangerous shit. We're not really raising kids to realize how dangerous things are. How much in reality there is no safety net. There really never was. There was never a net. And no matter how much the government tells you, it's going to take care of you and love you and hug you and make sure you have a nice warm place to sleep, the reality is not even the crocodile can guarantee your safety. That's part of the crocodile's lie. As kids, and a lot of us, if you understand where I'm coming from, you must be X generation. As X gen kids, we might have been the last generation to be given any opportunity at all to learn from the hard knocks of the summertime mistakes, the summertime adventures. We may have been the last generation to go out into the woods hunting for Bigfoot with our BB guns. Because now, if you see a bunch of kids with Red Riders in the woods, it must be militia. And then the SWAT team shows up. And then the Air Force. And they drop the white phosphorus. And you have a bunch of, you know, tween 10-year-old, 12-year-old boys and young girls set on fire. Yeah. It's not the same world, folks. It really isn't. I know I've talked about this before, so I'm going to leave it there, but it's something to meditate on. When I was a kid, man, we could toss dynamite, we could cut down trees. And also, from an ecological perspective, I'm not defending these acts. I'm not saying that's what people should go do. That's not my point. I'm talking about the fact that we would go do things and test boundaries, and we were allowed to do it even though it was really fucking dangerous. And somehow our parents understood that we needed to do those things. We needed to take risks. Next topic, and I'm going to check how we're doing on time here. It's always good to check your time. Oh, we're doing good on time. Doing good on time. We're doing great on time. What is the real reason for the attack on free speech. Now, if you listen to me, if you listen to the Little Saigon Report, you know that one of the redeeming moral features of my podcast is I am a radical supporter of free speech. Do I believe there are limits? Yeah, as a Christian, there are obvious limits. But if you're going to ask me, is it my role to be the censor? The answer is no. And if you're going to ask me, should we have a censor? The answer is no. Or rather, think of it this way. The only censor you need is in your own fucking head. Okay? If you don't like something that you hear, turn it off. If you don't like something you see, walk away. Don't look at it. Okay? You have those options. I don't want to bring up the bad word thought experiment, but maybe I should one more time before getting into this topic. If I meet you in a bar some night, and I say, hey, buddy, what do you think about using bad words like saying he or she in Canada? Oh, Canada. I say this to you. I say, what do you think about these bad words? And you say, oh, they're terrible. They're terrible. I wish people would be put in jail for saying those hateful hate speech words. And so I say, okay, buddy, I'm going to give you $200, and it's going to be the easiest fucking $200 you're ever going to make. We're going to go back in the alley behind the bar. I'm going to have a lead pipe in one hand and a really terrible offensive word on a yellow sticky note in the other hand. And no matter what choice you make, I'm going to give you $200 as long as you make a choice. You can get hit over the head with a baseball bat, or rather the lead pipe, or you can have me say the bad word to you. And keep in mind, while I'm saying the bad word, you can go na 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 na, you can cover your ears, you can even walk away if you want to, although I would come back if you want the $200. How many rational agents will choose to be hit in the head with a lead pipe? I don't think any. So if you want to understand the difference between a bad word and somebody hitting you over the head with a lead pipe, I've just given it to you. One of these things is going to cause serious injury and could kill you. The other thing is just a little annoying, and you have to be an adult and get the fuck over it. But I'm about to give you the real reason for the attack on free speech. I'm going to blow your mind. I'm about to tell you the real truth behind free speech. And it's not that complicated. The real truth of free speech is that if you have an opponent that wants to prevent you from speaking, it has nothing to do with what you're saying. I'm going to repeat that because a lot of people don't have their head screwed on right. If you have people calling for censorship, calling for hate speech laws, calling to have certain pronouns removed from the lingo, it has nothing to do with said pronouns or hateful words or anything to do with any shit you posted to your YouTube channel after getting drunk last Saturday night. It has zero to do with that. The reason why people are opposing free speech is because they are afraid they will be heard. Let me repeat this because this is really important. People oppose free speech because they don't want to have a discussion. Because if they are expected to open their mouths, if they actually have to provide any type of quasi-rational argument for their ridiculous bullshit, their nonsense, especially the fucking Marxists, guess what? People will know them to be emperors without clothes. People will know them to be charlatans. People will know them to be full of shit. The reason why people are opposed to free speech has zero to do with your crazy-ass blog. It isn't even fucking remotely personal in that sense. The reason why there are censors out there currently is because they do not want to have to be heard. They want to be able to apply their policies, to do their thing, and they don't want a debate. the very moment they have to justify their crooked Keynesian bullshit, the very moment they have to justify their crony bankster deals, the very moment they have to justify another illegal war, another series of operations that will kill men, women, and children, the very moment they have to justify their ridiculous philosophies involving their sexual organs, they know they will be shown to be fools. That's it. That's why people are so fucking opposed to free speech. They don't care about you using dirty words. They don't care about Uncle Dan saying dirty words. They are afraid people will expect them to use words. Now, I got one more topic before I close this out. One more topic. And it had to be discussed, even though I hate the political bullshit. You know, y'all might think I'm a political junkie, and on one level I kind of am, but more in the sense of being a wildlife biologist. I observe you people. I don't participate. I'm not interested in your political bullshit. I'm really not. I think it's mostly a lot of fucking chaos and manipulation and one big psyop. And so for me, it's more of an observational question. Can I observe these creatures without being killed? Can I go into the jungle and observe the tiger without being eaten? So there is this weird phenomena, and I gotta tell you, it fits into the category of, holy fuck, Dan, the plague of madness is here. There's this weird phenomena involving this 16-year-old girl, I think she's 16 years old, from Sweden, who apparently has some pretty rich parents because she gets to do some crazy-ass shit. There's this little girl named Greta Thunberg, and I don't know if I'm saying her name right. Guess what? I don't really care. I saw that Buffy the Vampire Slayer episode. You know, the two little kids that started pointing out all the bad people? You know, the two little kids that almost led to the witches being burned, or did I say lesbians? I think that was technically season 3 of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and yeah, it could have been season 2. Needless to say, folks, yes, I used to watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Sarah Michelle Gellar rocks. I stand unashamed. Do I admit to having watched Angel, the follow-on series? Yes. Why? I wish I knew. Needless to say, let's continue on topic here. Little Greta Thunberg. Now, I gotta tell you something. When I first started reading about her and seeing pictures, the first thought that occurred to me, the very first thought was that play, The Crucible, about the Salem witch trials. The very first thought was, holy shit, this reminds me. And I think, was that Tennessee Miller? I don't know who it was. But the point is, the very first thought was, this is like Crucible bullshit. This is fucking, let me look that up quick, because I don't like misquoting who did what. I just feel like a jerk about it. Let's use the power of the interweb to determine who is telling the truth. Meow. Crucible. Play. Fuck. Come on. Now it's doing Crucible Playbook. Fuck you. Fuck you, Google. And don't tell me about DuckDuckGo, because I've figured out a few things about that thing, too. Arthur Miller. I thought it was... It wasn't Tennessee Williams. And I may have said Tennessee Miller. It was Arthur Miller, The Crucible. 1953 play by Arthur Miller dramatizes the story of the Salem witch trials. The Salem witch trials. The horrible, horrible Salem bitch trials. Oh, did I say bitch or witch? The first time I saw a picture of little Greta Thunberg, I thought to myself, there is a little blonde girl they selected to point out witches. She's going to go around the town. She's going to say, there's a witch, there's a witch, there's a witch over there. She's going to tell us about armies of witches coming to kill us. And when you think about it, it's fucking perfect. It's fucking perfect. Who wants to beat up on the cute little white girl? Not even the cute little black girls. Okay? Which they probably should for all sorts of reasons, but they don't. She's perfect. She's playing a role. She's identifying the witches. And when you see it in those terms, it is quite ugly. Now, she also made accusations against various countries. There was that list of five countries, and I don't know, I think one of them was France and a few others that weren't defending children's rights to be upset about the climate. Frankly, most of what she had to say was so inchoate, so completely ridiculous that I just didn't really want to hear it or listen. But she left out China. Now, folks, I'm not anti-Chinese, but let's get real for a second. If you're going to tell me, as some new world globalist, about the fancy future of decades to come and how China's the great powerhouse, you can't at the same time say, but China produces no pollution. That is a good example of one of those contradictions. You can't tell me the future belongs to China and then say, ah, it doesn't matter that little Greta didn't mention the fucking shit they put into the water, or the fact that there are massive, catastrophic, apocalyptic algae blooms there right now, that there are places in China where you really can't breathe, and guess what? Humans need to breathe. And the soil is so poisoned that the rich and powerful in China basically have their food grown, specially. They don't eat the food the way normal people do because the soil is poison. It's not a great place, okay? It's not a great situation as far as the ecology goes. Does that mean we're any better? No. I didn't say we were better. But the fact that she excluded China is weird. It's weird. And whenever you see something weird, what have I told you, folks? If you see something weird in a statement, it doesn't necessarily tell you what the truth is, but it tells you that someone might be lying to you. When someone says something like, we've got to go after the great polluters and evil people who beat up on kids, listen, little Greta, in China, if you're Falun Gong, if you're a member of that particular group, you get the joy of going to a prison because you're in such healthy shape and having your organs removed and given to other people for a profit. Yeah, China's really great for the little kids, little Greta. Little Greta, if you're an Uyghur, I think Uyghur Muslim in the western parts of China, you're gonna get to go to a concentration camp. That's really fucking nice. Oh yeah, little Greta, you know what's really wonderful for kids? Social credit scores or social monitoring, where people are monitored 24/7. See the podcast subject about free-range kids. Yeah, in that world, you kill childhood. In that world, childhood is killed, little Greta. But you didn't mention China, did you? So yeah, I see your fucking game. I know what you're doing, what your job is. Your job is to go around the fucking village pointing out witches. Now, for all of you folks out there who say, oh, good, Dan has finally accepted that there's a solar minimum or a solar maximum or some cosmic ray bullshit, I'm going to tell you guys right now, I am a cosmological agnostic, and with respect to what's going on with the climate, I don't know what the truth is. I think Dane Wigington may be onto something. I do believe they are fucking with the sky. But why? I have no idea. I do believe the outcome of what they're doing is terrible for the environment, but why? I don't really know. I do know they're ignoring Fukushima, which means the Pacific Ocean is being essentially poisoned. I'm sorry, I don't know how else to put it. We are slowly pouring poison into the Pacific Ocean, assuming it's no big deal. Yeah, that's kind of fucking weird, okay? But what does that really tell me? Does that tell me there's global warming? Does that tell me there's global cooling? Frankly, it tells me nothing. All it tells me is the people that run this world probably don't give a fuck about me or you. Unless, of course, you're at that level. And if you're listening to my podcast, I don't know. And you're at that level, please, please send me some money. Yeah. Little Greta Thunberg. You know what, Greta? Here's the deal. And this is how I want to end this as we analyze little Greta. I don't know what the truth is. The fact is, little Greta could be hiding an uglier truth. It's like Al Gore. You could say Al Gore's bullshit, therefore global warming is bullshit. And I would say, wait a second, buddy. Just because Al Gore's bullshit does not mean global warming is bullshit. It could actually mean the fucking opposite. Okay? The deep state loves to use stooges. It loves to use freaks. It loves to use bozos, bozo the clowns. It loves to use clowns. In fact, one of the ways clowns throughout history stayed employed. You wonder, how do clowns stay alive? Well, they work for whatever king will hire them to do their own little fucking dance, to make everyone laugh. Al Gore is that clown. Little Greta is that clown. These people are designed to make you laugh at what could be a climate catastrophe. I don't know the full truth about the weather right now. I don't know what the real truth is. I don't have the money or the time or the resources. And if you're going to tell me you have some simple proof to determine things, let me tell you something. I went walking in the woods a few days ago. It sounded like a fucking graveyard. Now, if you have a fucking rational explanation for why there don't appear to be that many insects or birds right now, or why the orcas are dying in the Puget Sound, or why a lot of people I know who have built a life, a tradition of family on fishing for salmon, they're not really catching any salmon. If you've got an explanation, fine. But can we at least accept that these things are happening? And that in all likelihood, we could be poisoning the ocean. And however we're doing it, we should figure that shit out too, right? But it should be truth, not opinion. It should be science, not some type of fucking ridiculous arguments or debates on YouTube. That's all I gotta say about little Greta Thunberg. Do I know the truth about the climate? No, I do not. I suspect that maybe the truth is a lot worse than anything Greta talks about, or Al Gore. If they tell us, oh my God, the world's going to catch fire in 20 years, that's probably bullshit too. And if, in fact, for example, and I've talked about the clathrate gun, I'll talk about it again, because for those of you who are all like, well, Dan, it's really the Maunder minimum bullshit. Hey, listen, folks, the clathrate gun still applies, you stupid fuck. Okay? It doesn't give a shit if the global warming's coming from CO2 or not. If the clathrate gun trigger is pulled, if all that methane that is currently in a stable state in the Arctic Circle gets released, and it will, because the first giant fart will heat the Earth, and that will just lead to more farts. That's called a positive feedback loop. If that happens, it doesn't fucking matter how many cheeseburgers you ate or how much farting you do. We're not talking about cows here, okay? This is methane measured in teratons, trillions of tons of methane around the world being released, probably over the period of a year or two, and starting in the Arctic Circle. And when that starts, it will be bad. And guess what? Within 2 years, your goose is cooked, literally. We are basically in Venus Syndrome. And that has zero to do with Al Gore or little Greta or whether you're driving a Prius or driving a fucking Chevy. It doesn't matter how many cheeseburgers you eat. It's fucking irrelevant. If the clathrate gun trigger gets pulled, we might very well be fucked. And it also is irrelevant what's causing the warming or not. That's irrelevant too. So yeah, folks, before I end this podcast, don't for a minute think that I've told you I know that it's global cooling now or that there's no problem. All I can tell you is I look around the ecosystem of the Puget Sound area and I see a lot of fucking problems. And the simple explanation could very well be the most logical, the most scientific. If one gray wolf needs 10 square miles of habitable, healthy terrain, if that's the ratio for a wolf, what the fuck do you think the ratio is for a human? All the shit you need. And I say need with sarcastic quotes. It could really be that fucking simple, folks. And that comes down to a problem of common sense that life doesn't seem to have. Because all forms of life have one thing in common. Our eyes are bigger than our stomachs. Little Greta. Anyways, I hope that little Greta meets an evil witch in the woods, and I hope that she bakes a pie, and we'll see what happens. But no, I don't want anything bad to happen to this girl. It's just, I actually think she's being abused. I think this is actually child abuse. I think she's being used by people who have power over her and she's being asked to say things she doesn't really understand. Do I think it's possible that she believes the thing she's saying? Yeah, it's possible, but even then, I don't think her parents are doing a very good job. This is not how you resolve problems. You don't go into the UN and tell people that if you don't listen to me, we're all dead. That's not a rational argument. But there is truth out there. There is truth out there. The real question is, would the people that run this world tell you the truth? And if you don't know the answer to that question, grab a fifth of whiskey and think about it. Anyways, that was the last topic, but before I go, I want to say something. Like National Pubic Radio, oh, did I say pubic? I meant public. Like National Public Radio, my podcast is listener funded. Currently, I only accept support through Venmo. I'm not going to get into the whole crypto thing. If you literally had some Bitcoin you wanted to give me, I might go to local Bitcoin and open up another wallet. But truly, I'm not a big fan of crypto right now. I don't want to get into arguments about crypto. Frankly, it's a tool, it's a technology. Why would anybody treat it like a cult? So anyways, I don't currently accept crypto. I am currently using Venmo. It's not perfect. I have no doubt that if I cause enough problems, they'll probably deny my transactions at some point. But if you are in a good place economically and you enjoy my podcasts, check out my Venmo link. It's on my homepage of my SoundCloud podcast. Check it out. See if you want to support me. It's up to you at any level, and it can be just one-off stuff. You don't have to like do it on a regular basis. I had a Patreon account. I'm not really a big fan of Patreon right now. So it's Venmo if you want to support me, but only if you have the money, okay? I cannot stress this enough. Okay? We all have challenges right now, and a lot of us have financial challenges. So please, if you have the money, go to the Venmo link on my fucking SoundCloud homepage. But that's only if you have the money, okay? And who knows, maybe I'll include the link in this podcast at the bottom of the podcast part of the page there. But truly, if you're listening to this off of one of your little smart devices, I don't even know if you'll see this link. I just don't know. But if you go to imsully.com, it goes to that page, and if you look in the right-hand side down the margin, you'll see a link that says Venmo, and that's where I would go. And so for this Wednesday evening at just after 8 p.m., to those out there, including little Greta Thunberg, the witch hunter, I hope you guys have a great evening, and I'll talk to you later.